Well, praise the Lord. God's good.
All the time.
All the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles, once again to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. This is the eighth week we've been looking at these portion of scripture here found in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to start reading in verse 13, reading from the New American Standard. It says, "Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." As we read here, I believe the King James says wherefore, but the New American Standard says therefore. When we see this in the scripture, we need to remember it serves as a marker of something. It indicates a reason or on account of or because of. So when we take this in context, what Paul's writing here through the unction of the Holy Spirit, being guided by the Holy Spirit, Paul says, because of who you're wrestling against, on account of the viciousness of the battle waged against you, you need to put on the whole armor of God. Use every weapon, as we've talked about, put at our disposal by the power of God to fight our enemy, the enemy of our faith. Paul once again emphasizes the severity of this battle we are engaged in, the seriousness of this conflict, by again encouraging believers to put on the whole armor of God. It's up to us to learn what these pieces of armor, these weapons are, and use them accordingly. If we choose not to arm ourselves with these weapons and clothe ourselves in this armor, we're going to struggle in our Christian walk, and we're going to struggle with our faith, because it's not just a symbolic thing. When we get into it, we're going to start today looking at the individual pieces of armor, but you will discover that it's your identity of who you are in Christ. Amen? He's talking about putting on who you are, viewing yourself as who you are in Christ, as opposed to who the world says you are and who the devil says you are. Amen? Because we're going to talk about truth. We're going to talk about righteousness. Amen? We're going to talk about peace. We're going to talk about salvation. We're going to talk about faith. We're going to talk about the sword of the Spirit. Amen? Over the next few weeks, we're going to continue to look at these things. But if you do not learn how that you are the righteousness of God through faith, if you don't learn that the Word of God is the truth, if you don't recognize and know that who you are because of salvation and what is part of that salvation, what goes along with that salvation. A lot of people, a lot of Christians, a lot of people that love God only believe that salvation is, I'm going to heaven someday. That's all that it entails. It's much more than that. And if you don't understand about the armor of God, and you don't understand about truth and about righteousness and about faith and about peace, you're going to live a disturbed, anxiety-filled Christian life. And you're going to live way below the standard that God has for you to live. Praise the Lord. Paul used the image of a soldier to impress upon us that we as Christians are not playing some childhood game. This is a war. Amen? Yes. The consequences of not putting on the whole armor of God are real, and the quality of your life will diminish significantly should you lose the battles. Remember, the schemes of the devil are formulated to try and rob you of your faith, They're trying to destroy your faith. And they ultimately destroy you. Think about the picture that Paul is painting for us. He chooses a soldier in the image of someone ready to go into battle. It's a matter of life and death for soldiers in the physical realm to put on their armor before waging war. So shouldn't it be just as important for those who are battling in the spiritual realm to be prepared? Amen? So he says, therefore, or wherefore, because of all that thing, because of who you're fighting against, you need to put on the whole armor of God. He says, take up. Here. Take up the full armor of God. The word take up is the Greek word analambano. Say that three times real fast. Kind of sounds Italian. Analambano, right? You know? But it means to literally to take up. Wiest, in his word studies on the book of Ephesians, says this about the word analambano. To take up in order to use. To take to oneself. To take up as one takes up armor to put it on. The verb is aorist imperative, which construction issues a command given with a military snap and curtness. A command to be obeyed at once. Amen? So Paul's painting the picture of somebody, a soldier, and he's equating you as a believer in Christ as a soldier, and he says, take up. It's not a suggestion. It's basically, he is ordering you. Amen? Now, I never served in the military. Who in here? Just Mike? Are you the only one who served in the military? When Superior told you to do something, it wasn't just a suggestion, right? There was consequences. So he's saying, do this. It's a military command. Amen? And it talks about with the idea of once and for all. Amen? How many of you say, well, when you get up in the morning, you need to put your armor on? Well, Paul's saying you should never take it off. Amen? You should never take it off. Because when a soldier takes his armor off, he's not going into battle. How many of you? Any of you ever had the enemy come to you in the middle of the night and try to wake you up and sow some fear into your life and sow some thoughts into your life, and you're like, where in the world did that come from? Yes. Yes. Amen? Just because you're sleeping doesn't mean the battle's not raging around you. So we need to put it on all the time. The Christian is to take up and put on all the armor of God as a once and for all act and keep it on the entire course of our life. Amen? It's our protection. We need to put on the truth all the time. We need to be walking in the truth all the time. We need to recognize and know that we are the righteousness of God. Amen? Yes. We need to know that our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Yes.
Put on that helmet of salvation to guard ourselves against the thoughts that the enemy is going to throw our way. We need to have that on all the time. He says, put on the full armor. And we've looked at this word already earlier on in verse 11. He says, the full armor of God. He says it once again here. If you remember, it was the word panoplia. And it's literally everything that you have. The complete set. Don't just concentrate on faith. Don't just concentrate on being the righteousness of God. Don't just concentrate on your salvation. Take the whole package. Amen? Become a full, well-rounded soldier, a full, well-rounded Christian, and you know what each of those things mean to you. Because then he says, you will be able, or that you may be able, or you will be able. And we've looked at this word already also. He says you, in verse 11, where he says you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil, he says here, you will be able to resist in the evil day. It's that word dunamai that we looked at, that inherent ability, that inherent power that's as yours as a result of you being a child of God and the Holy Spirit coming to dwell in you. You've got dunamai on the inside of you. Amen? So, it's that internal enablement provided by an outside source. You're not doing this in your own ability. You're not doing it in your own strength. You're doing it because of the Spirit of God that resides on the inside of you. And you've got that dunamis, that supernatural miracle working power that we looked at several weeks ago, that God infuses, and it's used by God. It's the supernatural power of God. It's used throughout the New Testament. It's the same supernatural power that now resides on the inside of you. If you think about that, it'll change the way that you pray. Amen? It'll change a lot of things in your life. You're not some weak, beggarly person that's out there without any strength. You're not feeble. You are a child of the living God, and the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, and you need to be speaking that with power. Amen? When the enemy comes to you and says, "Who do you think you are? I'm going to squash you like a bug." You should say, "Well, let me tell you who I am." Amen? I'm the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen? I'm a child of the living God. He hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen? He uses the word three times here in six verses on this revelation of spiritual warfare. And every time it indicates the external source of our enablement, what enables us to put on the full armor of God, to stand against the schemes of the devil, and to resist him in the evil day. Amen? If you do not know that you have the power of God on the inside of you, the devil is going to beat your brains out. Amen? He's just going to keep coming after you. He's going to keep coming after you. Get a hold of it. Amen? He says you will be able to resist in the evil day. The word resist in the Greek is the word antistemi. It means to stand or set against. It means to arrange and battle against, and pictures a face-to-face confrontation. It means to set oneself against, to stand firm against someone else's onset, to oppose, to resist by actively opposing pressure or power. Get this, to withstand or oppose with firm determination. When the enemy, when something comes up, we're all going to get bad reports from time to time. Amen? We're all going to get bad news. We live in this fallen world. Things are going to happen. But how do we react when those things happen? Amen? Are we just going to curl up in the fetal position and start sucking our thumb and say, "Woe is me, and everything bad always happens to me, and I'm never going to make it"? No, we need to have the firm determination to say, "No, not going to happen." That's right. Not today. Not in my household. Not in my family. Amen? You need to speak the word. Amen? Speak the word. It involves not only a psychological attitude, but the corresponding behavior. It suggests vigorously opposing, standing face to face against an adversary, holding your ground. To remain steadfast and immovable, girded in the full armor of God in the face of a persistent attack. Any of you ever had the enemy attack you more than one time in a certain area? Yeah. Amen. As we've talked about, he has those schemes. He has a formulated plan. He has that file on you that he knows what pushes your buttons. He knows what's worked in the past. So, you need to make a choice that I'm going to resist. And when you begin to resist, he's not going to like it. Amen?
Yeah.
Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4 says, you will, when you put on the full armor of God and you take up, you will be able to resist in the evil day. There's, you know what? Evil day isn't just a particular day. It's not like at the end of time. It's not when in the tribulation or period or whatever. The day of evil is when things are at their worst. That's really what it's talking about here. Any day when the evil one or some of his cohorts come against us in force is the evil day. Every day of temptation is an evil day in this sense for the Christian. The evil day, at least it implies that not every day is an evil day, right? Some days are going to be good. Some days you're going to face the enemy.
Yes.
Amen? You can be sailing along and things are going great and all of a sudden, wham! But the Word of God tells us, you know what? When that happens, you are to stand.
Yes.
Amen? Hopefully you're in James chapter 4. It says, submit therefore to God. What are you supposed to do?
Resist.
Resist the devil. And he'll stick around and bother you some more.
Yep.
That's right. That's the same word, antithistemi, right here. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil. You know, we see a lot of things about bullying in our society today. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to tell you, the devil is the father of bullies. He is a bully. The worst thing the bully wants is somebody to stand up to him and punch him right in the mouth.
Right.
And they'll leave you alone. Amen. I remember when one of our sons was in the fourth or fifth grade, we got a call from school. We need you to come in and talk to us about your son. He punched some kid in the face. He punched a bully in the face. He wouldn't let anybody out the door. And he was standing in the door. And so our son just got tired of it. He did it every day and he just punched him in the face. After that, he didn't stand in the doorway anymore. Amen? And the principal, he's like, the boy needed it. I'm not going to punish your son because the boy's just he's just a bully. Amen? The devil is a bully. He will get in your face. He'll try to prod you. He'll try to beat you down. He'll try to discourage you. He'll do everything he can. Him and his principalities and powers and forces of darkness that we looked at, they will try to intimidate you. They'll try to get you to back down. The worst thing you can do is turn tail and run. You need to stand up to them and begin to speak the word. Because when you resist the devil, it says he will flee from you.
Yes.
When you look at that in the Greek, that means he'll run away from you in terror.
Yes.
T.O. Osborne talks about one morning that, if you've never heard of T.O. Osborne and his wife Daisy, they were evangelists that traveled all over the world, and they seen miraculous things happen. Just miraculous things. They'd been on the mission field, and they weren't filled with the Spirit. And they said the witch doctors and everybody had more power than they did. And they come home and they were just defeated. And they were like, we just don't want to go back. We can't do anything. Well, they came home and they started going to some different things, and they got filled with the Spirit of God. And they went back. And it was a totally different thing then. Amen? I mean, they literally seen these people brought a baby to them that had no eyes. It was born without any eyes. And they prayed for it. And a few nights later, this crusade that had hundreds of thousands of people in Africa. Don't remember the country now, but that there was this big commotion in the crowd, and the people were all excited, and there was people, and they just kind of, the sea parted, and these people brought this baby up, and it was the baby, and it had eyes, and it could see, and the interpreters were telling what happened, and hundreds of thousands of people got saved in that country as a result. Just the power of God. Amen. You've got the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Resist the devil. We don't have to be afraid of the devil. You've got the power of God on the inside of you. Amen? 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5:8-9 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, the same word, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Amen. The enemy's going to walk around and see who he can pick out. They always look for the straggler. They try to separate the weak and those from the rest of the herd. Stay with the herd, man. Stay hooked up with God. Don't get out there and be alone by yourself. Be a lone ranger. You need people around you. You need people that can support you. People that pray for you and pray over you. Amen? He says, resist him in the faith. So when the enemy comes against you, stand up to him, speak the word, amen, and he's going to leave. That's what the word says. That's not what I said. Amen? Look at 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. First John 4:4 says, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world.
Yes.
Amen? That external enablement, that power that comes to reside on the inside of you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Glory to God. When the enemy says, who do you think you are? I say, well, I'm a child of God. You think you can stand up against me? Yeah, I sure do. Because greater is he that's in me than you.
That's right.
Amen. Speak the word. You need to know that. You need to have that settled in you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We just have to resist the devil. Amen. When he comes against us and he says things and he attacks us and he tries to stop us, the Word of God says we are to resist him. We are to resist him in the evil day when you're having a day that just seems like it can't get any worse. The Word of God says you need to resist him. You need to remind yourself who you are. Amen. You need to grab a hold of yourself and say, you know what? I can make it through. I'm more than a conqueror. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Amen. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. It's the same word, arche, that we've talked about for several weeks. Nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor depth, nor height, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God. Nothing can cause you. You can't do something to cause God not to love you.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. So if you know all these things and you've got that down in you, that you are a child of God and God loves you and God thinks you're the cat's meow, man. He thinks you're just the most awesome thing. He thinks all of his children are his. All of us should think that we're his favorite child.
Amen.
He doesn't have favorites, but we're all his favorites. Amen. We need to get that on the inside of us. Nothing shall separate us, and we're going to conquer it. We're going to win. We're going to get over it. Amen. Whether it's in our body, whether it's an affliction there, whether it's in our finances, relationships, whether it's in our mind, whatever it is, it says nothing shall separate us from the love of God. And in all those things, we overwhelmingly conquer.
Hallelujah.
I mean, when you overwhelmingly conquer somebody, it's not just beating them or beating it. It's stomping them. Amen. You know, we used to play a lot of softball, me and Mike and Jim. Played a lot of softball. They always had a run rule. Called it the mercy rule. Some of the teams we played on, we didn't have much mercy on people. Amen. They had a 10 run rule. It started out at 15, didn't it? I can't remember. 15, then they had a 10 run rule after 5. They also had a 21 run rule after 3 innings.
Yes.
I played on a team one time, we beat a team 45-1.
Wow.
Remember that? In 3 innings. That's overwhelmingly conquering them. Amen. That's not just beating them. That's beating them to the point where they just wanted to hang their stuff up and never play again. Demoralized. Exactly. That's overwhelmingly conquering somebody. That's the image you got to have. Not just barely beating them, skimming by and that pulling out the victory in the last inning, the last at bat. No, overwhelmingly conquer is you. It's a no contest deal.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because of that internal enablement, that dunamis on the inside of you. That power of God. Amen? Hallelujah. We need to get a hold of that. Look at 1 John 2. 1 John 2. You are an overcomer.
Yes.
Amen. 1 John 2:14 says, I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. Amen. If you read that in 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 12, there's a progression that Paul talks about. Little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Amen? And he goes on about fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. Young men, because you've overcome the evil one. There's a progression. If you only know about salvation, you're not going to know about beating the evil one and overcoming the evil one. Amen? You need to get a hold of the Word. You need to get into the Word. You need to know the Word. You need to know who you are in Christ.
That's good.
The word overcome is the word nikeo. It means to conquer, to be victorious, to prevail in the face of obstacles. You need to get a hold of that. 1 John 5. 1 John 5. John 5:18 says, we know that no one who is born of God sins, makes it a practice of sinning all the time, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. Praise the Lord. So, you've got this internal enablement that helps you to stand. Doesn't matter how bad a day you're having, no matter how bad the report from the doctor was, no matter how bad your bank account looks, how bad an argument you got in with your spouse, Word of God says that you're able to stand and you're able to overcome that and you're able to work through it, but it takes determination. It's not going to be easy. You start getting a hold of the Word. We looked at it a few weeks ago in Mark chapter 4, the different progressions. The enemy comes to steal the Word as soon as it's sown in some people because they don't understand it and they don't accept it. Other people, persecution arise for the word's sake and they give it up. Other people, the cares of this world and choke the word out. And then there's a small percentage that produce fruit. Amen? Three times more bad ground than good ground. When you look at it. We want to be the good ground. We want to get a hold of the Word. We want to take hold of the Word. The enemy comes to us. He tries to persecute us. He tries to do things to get us to give up. We just keep pressing on. We just keep pressing on. Amen? Just keep going. And then the cares of the world. If that doesn't work, he'll try to bring other things into you to get you distracted. Just keep pressing on. Just keep pressing on. Amen? He says, so having done, look back at Ephesians again. He says, take up the full armor of God that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, stand firm. Having done means to work out fully and thoroughly. It involves considerable expenditure of effort to accomplish or achieve an end. To work as to bring something to fulfillment or successful completion, and it implies doing something with thoroughness. Amen. You got to stay after it. You got to stay in faith. You got to just keep. You want delivered from some things. You want set free from some things. You know what? There's things that the power of God can set people free just like that. Anything. But there are some things in your life you're going to have to work through them. I've said many times, when I got saved when I was 25 years old, the Lord took the desire for alcohol immediately. But there's other things that I had to work on. My mouth was one of them. Amen. You just have to work through it. You have to speak the word. You have to get into the word. It takes work sometimes. Amen? People, sometimes they don't want to put in the work. And you can ride other people's faith for a little while. But there comes a day when your Father God says, they're riding on everybody else's coattails here. I'm just paraphrasing my own thoughts. Amen? Have you ever noticed that? You get into things and you're going along and things are going good. And then something happens and you go to them people to pray for you, and they pray for you, but things don't change like they did before. Why? Because it's up time for you to start walking and quit crawling.
Yes.
It's time for you to put down the bottle and start eating some steak.
Yes.
Amen? I'm just being brutally honest with you. Amen? We got a lot of adult Christians that are still sucking on the bottle.
Yeah.
Have been for 20 years. Woe is me. God doesn't do anything for me. He's never blessed me like that. Have you ever applied the word? Have you ever done that? You know me, I'm just going to tell you how it is. I'm not going to play pretense and try to be all spiritual up here. Amen? I've known too many people like that. I always want somebody else to do it for them. I always want somebody else to believe God for them. Well, there comes a point in time, as we've seen in 1 John, that you need to grow up and get past that the only thing you know about is that your sins are forgiven. You need to start taking steps to become young men and women of God, no matter how old you are. Just because you've been a Christian for 40 years, you might still be a baby.
It's true.
Sad, but true.
Yes.
Amen? Don't know anything about the word. Had a guy one time tell somebody that he was intimidated by me and Brother Jim because we knew more of the word than he did. And it's like, whose fault is that? We'd only been saved for a short time. Maybe a year, right? It's like, it's not our fault. So we're just going to stop. Amen. Get a hold of the word, man. I wish I'd have known the word when I was a kid. I didn't go to church. And when I did start coming to church, it was just because there was some good-looking girls in the youth group. Let's just be honest, man. Come on. And I married one of them. So, and then we came to church. We didn't pay attention. I didn't pay attention to what was going on. Just came to church. And then just lived like the world the rest of the week. But when something happened to me right down here that night, changed my life. Amen? When that Ford Philpott was up here preaching the Word of God, I could say, he's lived my life. And I'm going down the same path he is. And I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to live that way anymore. And I made the decision and I came down front and made Jesus the Lord of my life. And something happened instantaneously. And the Word of God says you become a new creature in Christ. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Amen? Behold, the old things are passed away. All things are become as new. I was a new creature.
Yes.
Got up a new creature. Didn't know what had happened. Tried to find answers from people. Other people didn't. Couldn't explain it to me. Well, I don't know how you're feeling. Then I finally talked to somebody and he just laughed. And goes, I know exactly how you're feeling. You're a new creature in Christ. Amen?
Yes.
Get a hold of the Word of God. He says, having done everything to stand. My goodness. Praise the Lord. He says, stand firm. Stand firm. Amen? Paul tells us three times to stand firm. Be immovable, be steadfast in the face of a relentless attack. Remember, we talked about the Roman soldiers and their sandals had cleats on the bottom of them, had spikes so they could dig in, so they could stand firm. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I still got three more pages of notes to go. He says, having girded yourself, girded your loins with the truth. When the word girded here, what it's talking about means preparation for work or for an activity. Amen? The belt tied tightly around the waist indicated that a soldier was ready for combat. When he took the belt off, man, he was done fighting. Amen? The Roman soldier's belt wasn't the most noticeable piece of his armor. It was worn with a tunic at all times, and it formed a central piece of his armor. It held everything else in place. Okay? The belt was broad and composed of sturdy leather. And if you've ever seen it, it hangs down and it has all these strips that hang down from it. And all those strips had meanings and they had decorations on many of them. Some of them signified their rank. So they had all those things. And then it was from there, there were specialized hooks and holders. That's where they had a dagger there. It had a holder for the quiver which held their lance. It had an apparatus on which to rest the large battle shield. And it had clips that held the breastplate in a proper position. Paul tells us in verse 14 to stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. And we'll get into this next week a little bit more, but I believe as we read through the description of the soldier's belt, we can see the importance that the truth plays in our being able to stand and resist the enemy. Many of the other pieces of armor are supported by the truth. The enemy's greatest weapons are deception and fear. Amen? He tries to deceive people. He has people deceived. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. And we'll close with this. That word truth means what is true in any matter under consideration. Doesn't matter what somebody's going through. It doesn't matter what anybody's opinion is. If it doesn't line up with the Word, it's not the truth. See, we live in a world that tell you there is no such thing as absolute truth. Truth is only relative according to the situation you might find yourselves in. Situational ethics. A lie straight from the pits of hell. God's Word points to one place that there's truth, and each person has to make a decision as to whether they're going to accept it as truth or not. Just because you refuse to believe something doesn't make it any less truthful.
Amen. That's good.
Amen? When we talk about righteousness, we talk about peace, we talk about the shield of faith, we talk about your helmet of salvation, all those things, they're all based in the truth. They're all based in the Word of God. And if you don't believe that the Word of God is true, it's going to affect every area of your life. Amen? As I've said many times, after I got saved and got a hold of the Word, I had that bumper sticker that said, God's Word says it, I believe it, and that settles it. And really, that's a decision you have to make. Are you, you know, you just can't pick and choose in here what you want to believe. To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. There's a reason why you used to put your hand on the Bible, amen?
Amen.
Now who knows what they're putting your hand on when you go in there? We need to get a hold of that, the truth, amen? Father God, we thank you and we praise you for your Word. We thank you, Father, for the truth. And Lord, I thank you and praise you that your Word says that we can take up that armor and that we can withstand in the evil day, that we can resist the enemy, Lord. When the enemy comes to confront us, the enemy tries to bully us and try to get us to back down, Lord, but we can stand boldly and declare that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We can take a stand, Lord. We can speak the Word over our situation. We can speak grace into a situation. We can speak health into a situation. Peace, whatever we have need of, Lord, we thank you and praise you. We find it in your Word. We can stand on that Word. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for being able just to rely on that inherent power that's ours as a result of being a child of God. That when we feel small and insignificant, Lord, and feel like we can't go on, we can look to you and we can draw upon that power that's on the inside of us. Just thank you for that, praise you for that, and just give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise